Good morning, everyone. As Coots mentioned, we have two readings, the first from Revelations 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the Lamb or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angels to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy written in this scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at his feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the word of this scroll. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of the scroll because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I'll give it to each person according to what they had done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexual immoral, the murderers and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let us, the one who hears says, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." Our second reading is Daniel chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 5. "Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, 'How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?' The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand towards the heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, 'It will be the four times and times of time and a half. When the power of the holy people have finally broken, all these things will be completed.' I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked my Lord, 'What will the outcome of this be?' He replied, 'Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, for those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes the desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance."
Thanks, Leslie. It'd be great if you could keep your Bibles or your leaflets there. It's got the printout from Daniel 12. If you could keep them open, that would be wonderful. And just a reminder, like we've been doing these last few weeks, we'll take a minute at the end of the talk to write down our one thing from this morning. That's one thing that struck you or intrigued you, one thing that's come to mind, or just a thought about the passage. Your one thing. We'll come back to that at the end. But let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd please be working in our hearts this morning, that you'd make clear to us the things that you know we need to hear. And we pray we would hear you clearly this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago now, it was before we had kids, my wife Bronwyn and I, we were living in Perth at the time. We were driving into the country off to a family birthday party. Should have just been a 3-hour drive and we knew the way pretty well. But partway through, a bit like yesterday actually, there was this massive storm that came over. Massive. It just lashed us with water. We had to pull over, you know, again and again because the water was just so heavy. And the road was sort of just awash, you know, water was just flowing over the road. And we slowed down to a crawl and it went on and on like that, hours and hours for ages. It was so hard to make way. Eventually, we get to a part of the road and I think we're maybe only halfway there. And it had been blocked off. The water was so deep, you just couldn't go any further. And the day by then had turned into night. We weren't sure which way to go. There was one other way to get to our destination, but all the heavy rain and everything. I mean, who knew if we'd be able to get through that way? We knew we could turn around, of course, and head back home, but that way could be cut off too by now. And it was actually just a little bit intimidating, you know, not knowing what would happen and not knowing what the outcome would be. And I wonder if you've ever been in a situation like that yourselves. The feeling of not knowing and, you know, that concern just sort of rising up in you. You ever been in a situation like that? Maybe you've been in a situation like that, but even worse. And what you felt wasn't concern, but actual fear. And I've told the story a couple of times of Bron and myself being stuck on a mountain during a snowstorm in Canada. Didn't know how to get down, couldn't see anything, not knowing the outcome. We felt the beginnings of fear. It's like that, isn't it? When the future isn't clear and you don't know the outcome, you can feel that way. Fear, concern, or maybe just plain old worry. And many of us actually might feel that way just in daily life, you know, not stuck in a heavy storm, not stuck on the side of a mountain, but just with whatever big things are going on in life. Each and every day. Many of us, no doubt, feel like that. Well, Daniel 12's got something to say about that. It says something about the future and the great certainty that we have in it. It's a certainty that doesn't take away the troubles that we experience, but it gives perspective. It gives perspective and assurance. And it empowers us to patiently wait through difficulties for the glorious outcome that God has in store. Let's take a look at Daniel 12 and the things that it has to tell us about that. So to start, let's cast our minds back over the last couple of weeks. And if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, if you recall any parts of Daniel, he's had this vision in this last section. He's been given this vision. Human kingdoms in conflict. God's people persecuted and oppressed. And there's this ongoing pattern of it over and over again until this time of a great distress. That's what gets described. A time of great distress before the end of human history. And in verse 6, notice one angel asks, how long will it go on for? And notice the answer. A time times and half a time. Now, what on earth does that mean? There's a lot of debate, time, times and half a time. But I reckon what it tells us is that it's going to be a long while. A time and then times. Like it gets greater, doesn't it? It's going to be a long time. But then half a time. So in other words, it's going to be ended. That last period, it's cut in half. It's brought to an end. It reminded me actually of when my kids were little. It's quite a while ago now, and we often did long car journeys, and at the first corner they would often say, Dad, when will we get there? This is so long. And I tried different things over the years, like I tried giving the actual answer, that didn't work. So then I'd say something really exaggerated, like, oh, 12, 15 days, you know, then we'll be there. That didn't work. I tried ignoring the question, that didn't work. Nothing really worked. But it occurred to me as I was reading through Daniel 12, what I should have said is, it'll be a time, times, and half a time. Dad, how long? It'll be a time, times, and half a time. And then we'll be there. I should have said that. Because see, what verse 7 is saying is, patience is needed. We need patience. And patience is possible. Because we know it will come to an end. So how long will this trial and trouble for God's people go on for? Time and times. Right? Not a short time. Patience is going to be needed. But it's going to end. Can't pin down the year that it's going to end. But we know it will end. Half a time. It's cut off and ended. You get the same thing in verses 11 and 12 if you look at those two verses with me. Some people say the 1,290 days, that's got to do with Antiochus the Fourth. If remember him over these last few weeks, and that may well be true because it also talks about the abomination of desolation. We've talked about that before. But as we've said before, you know, these visions, they point to events that we can see in history, like Antiochus the Fourth. But they also point to the ongoing, you know, repeated pattern in world affairs. The ongoing pattern. So 1,291 days, then the blessing of the one who waits even longer than that, 1,335 days. So what are these verses saying? They're saying also that patience is needed. The one who endures patiently to the end, they'll be blessed. Just be patient. Understanding that it will end. That's what these descriptions of time are telling us. Now it's important to understand that, and verse 10 tells us it's the wise who are the understanding ones. The wise are the understanding ones. Now we know from last week when we looked at chapter 11, the wise are the ones who know their God. And that makes sense because that's where real wisdom comes from. It comes from God. We've all been educated to think that wisdom comes from schooling and studying and, you know, observation of the world and how it works and understanding all that stuff. We've been taught that that's the path to wisdom. But it's not actually. Like you might call it a sort of wisdom, but really it's knowledge. And knowledge is useful, but real wisdom can't be learned from what we see around us. Now, real wisdom, it comes from God and his revelation to us in the Bible. God created his world. He knows how it works. He knows how we should best live in it. He knows what's wrong with it. It's human sin. That problem of ignoring him and his good intentions for us. That's what's wrong with it. But God also knows how to put it right. And he has put it right. The death and suffering of his son in our place, paying the price for our sin. He's done that. And his resurrection from the dead proves that he's done it. And real wisdom, it comes from God's revelation of those things. It's his description of himself and of us and his world and his good intentions for all of it. It's the only way to see the world and our existence in it properly, and it's all revealed to us in the Bible. That's how we make sense of what's going on here in Daniel chapter 12. Do you notice there Daniel asks, he says, what will the outcome of all this be? You know, like he's asking, how does this conclude? Like, what does it look like after all this is done? What's the outcome? Fair question. But did you notice he didn't get an answer? He just gets told, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. They're rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Doesn't mean the words can't be read by anyone else until the end. They were written down, so they could be read. No, they're sealed in that the full understanding of them won't be possible until the time of the end. But the book of Revelation, which we heard, chapter 22, read to us, it records the visions of the Apostle John, Revelation, the last book of the Bible. John's seen what it will be like when God brings everything to an end and restores things to how they're supposed to be. And he wrote this: "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near." So can you see the wisdom that's revealed here? See, in Daniel's day, the words are sealed. Full understanding would have to wait for the end times. But the revelation given to John says, do not seal up the words. And that's because the death and the resurrection of Jesus has brought the world into the end times. It's the time that the Apostle John was living in, and it's the time that we live in too, actually. So the details of how all this would work, the outcome of it all, they're clear now. Jesus has died for our sin and has risen again, fixing the problem of sin, defeating death. These are the last days. These are the last days. And Jesus will return just once more to bring it all to an end. We're in the last days now. And the wise understand that. And you can't get that sort of wisdom through learning or study. It only comes from understanding what God's revealed. Daniel asked, what will be the outcome of all this? And the wise now know the answer. Difficult times will continue, but God hasn't abandoned us. Human sin's the issue, and God's brought a solution to that problem through Jesus. And in these last days, God patiently waits for people who don't know him to turn to him in repentance to be saved. See, all through the ages, the wise have known that they must persevere with patience, being purified and refined, knowing that they're growing in the most important thing of all, their faith and trust in the Lord to the end. And this side of the cross, the wise know that end is near. So I look back in my life and I can see in hindsight, at least at some times, when God's hand has been. And I'm very thankful for it, even though I might not always have felt that at the time. There was a time, some time ago, I was really struggling with my circumstances. It wasn't persecution, but it was a form of pressure. It was an opportunity to stumble just the same. And an older, wiser Christian man said to me, "You should be thanking God for this." But at the time, I didn't much feel like thanking anyone. I was not much enjoying it. But his point was, God would be working in that situation. Through what was going on, he'd be working in me. And you know, in hindsight, he was. I remember someone saying to me that they'd gone through some really horrible things in their life. And they would never wish for those things again, never. But looking back, they said they knew they couldn't have done without them, because it had driven them into the arms of the Lord. They'd been refined and purified. They'd grown so much in their trust of him. Nothing matters more than that in the light of the end, does it? See, the wise, they know that. They know he'll bring it to an end. And they know that Jesus has defeated all evil. And the countdown has begun. The end is near. Yes, it's been 2,000 years since the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, but don't make any mistake. That is not long for the eternal God. These terribly difficult times, they're not something to desire. They're not, but when we do experience them, the wise know that somehow God will use it for something infinitely valuable, being refined and purified, made spotless for the last day. And they live with that future in sight. They go their way, confident in God's revelation of their future. See, in the end, that's what the angel says to Daniel, doesn't he? Go your way until the end. You will rest. And at the end of the days, you'll rise to receive your allotted inheritance. That's the message for us too. Go your way. Go your way. The question is, What way are you going? Is it God's way? Because as we said last week, there is a lot at stake. These last words, they say that Daniel will rest and then rise to receive his inheritance. But it doesn't say how that would happen. 500 years later, Jesus walked the earth and he showed us. See, we will all die. I hope that doesn't come as anyone. Like, the statistics are in. One out of one, all people, will die. And then we will be physically raised again on the last day to face judgment for sin. But Jesus promises that the wise will be forgiven their sin through faith in him. They'll receive a glorious inheritance. A glorious inheritance. It's life with God in a community of the saved. This perfect existence where there is no more brokenness, no more suffering. Just as Revelation tells us. God's dwelling place is now among the people. He'll dwell with them. They'll be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I don't know about you, but when you hear those words, when you really think about it, I long for it. I long for it. Death and pain and suffering and discontent and disappointment all passed away. Actually, when we can no longer sin, it'll be glorious. I want to go that way. And through faith in Jesus, I know I will. Brian Chappell puts it like this in his book on Daniel. He says, Daniel knew that God's plan for all time was sufficient reason for faithfulness in his time. Daniel knew that God's plan for all time was sufficient reason for faithfulness in his time. We know that even better, don't we? We know God's plan for all time. We've seen it in Jesus. We do have reason for faithfulness in our time. And to live with that end in mind. And if we truly understand that, I reckon it does two things for us. Two things. First, we're able to worry much less about the immediate future. You know, going our way, knowing that in the end, we'll rest. And at the end of the days, we'll rise to receive our allotted inheritance. It means we don't live for the present. We don't focus only on the now with short-term benefits, short-term disappointments, and short-term rewards. We live with the end of days in mind, confident God's plan is working out exactly as it should, faithfully going our way, knowing that at the end of the days, we'll rise to receive our allotted inheritance. It's challenged me this, and I hope it challenges you. What things, especially future things, make you anxious and worried? Can you think of something? If you're like me, probably many things. But how do they look when you think about them in the light of knowing that in the end you'll rest, and then through faith at the end of the days you'll rise to receive your allotted inheritance? How do they look then? What I'm asking is, do they feel different in the light of what you know God has in store for you? Please don't hear me saying that whatever it is that presents trouble and struggle in your life is not real or is not valid, or that I'm minimizing that in any way. Not at all. There are people here with real significant challenges in their life, and I know that. But know that somehow God, through it all, has got it. And through faith, he's got you. He's got you, and he will bring it all to an end. And through faith in the death and the resurrection of Jesus for you, he will bring you to himself. And it will be glorious. I reckon if we understand that, it helps put things in their proper perspective. That's the first thing. Second thing is, if we understand that, it frees us to be bold for God, to live courageously and take risk for him. Because we know that he's got the end sorted. And haven't we seen that all the way through this book of Daniel? His confidence in God, and because of it, his ability to take risks for him. See, Daniel, he could do that because he knew God would never let him down. And actually, God's proved that to us in Jesus. So it's worth asking, what was the last risk that you took for God? Do you remember what it was? What was the last risk that you took for God? To help us put our present in perspective and to help us to be bold for God, here's one final suggestion. Write those words on a piece of paper and stick them on your bathroom mirror or your coffee machine or on the fridge, or even just take out your phones right now and write them in your phone. Write down these words. At the end, through faith, I will rise and receive my inheritance in the Lord. Like, it's just so easy for us to take our eyes off that truth. But putting those words somewhere where we see them every morning, start each day thinking through that lens, through faith I will rise and receive my inheritance in the Lord. That gives the right perspective. Gives us the right perspective so we can go our way, the right way. And we can go that way each day, right until the end. Before we close in prayer, as I said at the beginning, and you'll notice on your outline there, it says at the bottom, my one thing. It's because we've looked at God's word and we don't want to just walk away and forget what we've heard. We want to live it out. So can I invite you now just to take a moment and think about your one thing. What's the one thing from all of this that has struck you or moved you that you disagree with maybe? One question that you want to ask or the one thing that you need to do. What's the one thing for you? And let's just take about 60 seconds to take out your phones or make a note on a piece of paper about your one thing. I'll call us back together in about 60 minutes and I'll lead us in prayer. You'd write a whole essay in 60 minutes, couldn't you? Well, that's been about 60 minutes. Kidding, seconds. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your plan for your world and for your love for us. Father, we ask that you help us to persevere and to be patient. We thank you for using our circumstances to refine our faith. And we ask you'd keep us strong no matter what we might face. Father, we pray you'd strengthen us to go your way and that we would go your way right until the end. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.